I wanted to introduce myself. I'm Brenda McBride. I'm the product manager for HumanWear and actually market developer as well. And we create, I oversee the development of the Classmate Reader. It's one of the things that I oversee, and a lot of presentations. So Diana Coleman is joining us from down in Michigan area, and she's going to be our guest speaker, and she's been really working hard. We actually met last, I want to say, Diana, did we meet in this year? We met this year. Yeah, and she
I think it was January.
Yeah, we attended a presentation. I did a workshop with her at her school where she works, and from there we came up with this idea, because this is a big topic that we're covering today. A lot of interest from people all around, and Diana's worked extremely hard, and we've got notes for you to follow up with the presentation, so you've got some of the links, so you aren't going to have to copy that down. Anyone that attends will receive those notes. I will attach those in your email to you, and I'll see about attaching a attendance form as well. I can see how long you've actually attended the presentation. So hopefully that is helpful. Just letting those people know that are an accessible event, that you need to make sure that you also are tied into the GoToMeeting link. And I think that I'm going to make a presentation on these two pieces. We're piecing two programs together to make sure that you are receiving the presentation the best way that we can provide it to you at this time.
And I'd like to say a big thank you to you, Brenda. Your expertise and enthusiasm are making this possible, and also the folks at HumanWear who are encouraging the exchange of ideas and supporting the understanding of these new technologies with these webinars.
Great. Well, thanks, Diana. We're always trying to improve, and I'm always learning things. So I want to thank Diana, and I'm going to turn it over to her. She's the expert in this area, and we are going to proceed with this. It is being recorded, so we encourage the questions, and hopefully we'll have some time at the end. I'm trying to have this session about 30 minutes, but we have lots to cover today and some great information. So with that, Diana, I'm going to give you control, and you should be able to use your arrow keys to advance the slides of the PowerPoint, and let me see if that happens. There we go.
Okay.
So arrow to the
it
right,
works.
And you're going to advance. Perfect.
Okay, the topic today is about finding and organizing digital resources. The richness of the world of digital media has opened up new horizons in education. Today is an exciting time to set out on the journey to discover amazing possibilities for teaching and learning. If our goal is to have fast, effective access to printed knowledge, our options have increased dramatically. Let's take a look at some of the nuts and bolts that it takes to build the capacity to use some of these new options. There are a lot of options, and this can quickly become a bit overwhelming. Using online books is a complex topic, and there are many ways to approach it. Today's presentation offers lots of information and resources, but when we reference a site or product, it's not intended as an endorsement of that product over others. So many great options are out there that there's no way to include them all. We don't have all the answers or the solutions. It's our intention to begin a dialogue. The power of sharing knowledge allows people to become more proficient over time. The outcome for using digital resources in the learning process is worth the effort. Students are better served, and they have the resources they need in a timely manner. This is a team effort. I can't say this enough. Teachers can't fully implement this alone. Technology isn't the end. It's the means to get online. So directly interacting with the technology department is imperative. Support for funding and favorable support from policy planners provide the necessary infrastructure. Students have to be empowered to use the resources, and at the same time, they need to be taught the social sophistication to make good choices online. Conversation with the tech department unlocks the door to making this all possible. Digital rights managers are needed in schools as facilitators who understand the limitations of managing licenses and protect the integrity of using copyrighted material, but who also at the same time communicate the awesome impact of and feel the imperative need to provide accessible instructional materials. Communication opens the information pipeline so that the knowledge is not owned by one person. Okay, I clicked twice and nothing happened.
I muted myself, so if you do it again, you'll be fine. We'll just go. Here we go. Okay.
Alrighty. The term digital resources can mean a lot of different things. Today, as we're talking about making learning accessible to people with varying needs, there are two major ways to consider grouping instructional materials. Digital e-text files provide visual input as well as auditory and sequential flexibility. Text readers visually make skimming through the content material possible. Visual cues such as highlighting, adjusting font size and color, magnifying words, and varying color schemes help some learners understand the content. Digital audio files provide a more human-sounding voice, narrating the material, as well as providing voice cues that help with comprehension. Changes in voice pitch, word emphasis, and the rate of speech also help us to understand the meaning of a passage. Thanks to years of requests and lobbying by citizens and advocacy groups from many states, it is finally becoming easier to find both digital e-text as well as audio files online for U.S. citizens with print disabilities. Other countries have similar sites. The U.S. government funds both Bookshare and Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic. Both sites provide materials in alternative formats that allow barrier-free access to print materials for individuals with disabilities. Print materials include textbooks, instruction manuals, novels, magazines, newspapers, workbooks, short stories, essays, reference books, pamphlets, worksheets, and all the reading materials that some of us take for granted. Check out the information at the TIPS website at the bottom of this page or on our reference sheet if you need to know how to use either Bookshare or RFB&D.
And that's a particular tiny URL that walks you through how to use those books, and that will be included in the reference material as well.
Four notable changes have occurred that have made finding and organizing digital resources the new literacy. First, we'll discuss what has changed over time. Several factors have made it imperative for people to know about using online books. Next, we will take a look at how the technology has made unprecedented educational opportunities available. Then, we will examine how to tap the pipeline of digital materials so students have easy access to the flow of information available. And at the same time, we'll talk about honoring copyrights. And finally, we'll talk about keeping organized as we use these resources. We need a way to keep these virtual materials in order. It's important to decide how to organize files so that we can find them and the students who need them have them at the time they are needed. Today, we're covering finding and organizing digital resources, and on Thursday, we're going to talk a little bit about how to use online books. So let's begin talking about some of the changes that have brought us to the point we're at today. Most people would agree that the students in school today are different from the students who were in school even 10 years ago. The digital natives, as they're sometimes referred to, are said to even point with a different finger than most of us are used to. A researcher recently reported that digital natives are so used to texting that they have developed a tendency to use a different digit. They even point with their thumbs more frequently than with their index finger. Students today are used to easy access to affordable technology that was only dreamed of even a year ago, and they multitask to the point of distraction. We are challenged to discover how to engage them in the learning process. What has changed over time? Let's look at four factors that impact the use of online books today. The first is the invention of Project Gutenberg. Then there's accessible instructional materials legislation. And the NIMAS and NIMAC, which we'll explain later. And online search engines. First, we're going to look at Project Gutenberg. Project Gutenberg was the first producer of free electronic texts or e-books. They continue to be a leader in the creation of e-books and related technologies today. Prior to having access to e-books online, providing usable materials for people with various print disabilities was very costly, difficult, and time-consuming. Anyone who has scanned a book or recorded one being read out loud can appreciate this wonderful resource. This is the main page at the Project Gutenberg website. The books here are free and available to everyone. The website is clearly written and easy to use. It informs the reader of necessary information and offers up-to-date details about how to use the e-books. Michael Hart, the founder of Project Gutenberg, invented e-books in 1971. His work continues to support the freedom to access information today. The books at Project Gutenberg are created by people who have contributed to the project. I was tempted to say people like you, you know, how PBS always says, you know, this is due to people like you, but it's true. Volunteers have donated uncountable hours to scan, record, proofread, verify, and format e-books. With over 30,000 titles, Project Gutenberg continues to be the largest single collection of free, open to everyone, electronic books or e-books online today. With its affiliates, over 100,000 books are available. Books are available in many of the world's languages. There are even books in Old English and Latin. In addition to e-text, audiobooks and other compilations of digitized materials are found here. Project Gutenberg is the site where anyone can download free e-books to read on their PC, iPhone, Kindle, Sony Reader, or other portable device. These books are free in the United States because their copyright has expired. They may not be free in other countries. Readers outside of the United States must check the copyright laws of their countries before downloading or redistributing the e-books. There's a clear explanation at this site of what is meant by free material. Quote, the word free in the English language does not distinguish between free of charge and freedom. Free of charge means that you don't have to pay for the book you received. Freedom denotes that you may do as you like with the book you received. So teachers may use these books with their entire classes. Writers may adapt the book for the stage. These materials may be shared with others. If the book you received is just free of charge, you may do none of the above things. You may not even make a copy of the book and give it to your best friend. Fortunately, almost all Project Gutenberg e-books are free of charge and free as in freedom. A link at this website shares many examples of what people have done with the Project Gutenberg e-books. It's fun to browse. The biggest difference between Project Gutenberg and Bookshare and Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic is that while Project Gutenberg offers e-text of open source documents, Bookshare and RFBND offer access to printed works that continue to be under copyright. This is important because most textbooks and recent literature are under copyright restriction. U.S. law guarantees access to copyrighted printed material only to persons with print disabilities. In order to protect authors from copyright violations, Bookshare and Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic share text in specialized formats to protect copyright restrictions. However, a selection of freely distributable titles from the public domain or Creative Commons license is also available for download from Bookshare without a membership. Now, this leads us to the second major change that is made using online materials accessible, accessible instructional materials legislation. Accessible instructional materials were defined in the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, or IDEA, in 2004, as alternate format materials to support access and enable participation in the general curriculum by students with print disabilities. The intent of AIM legislation is to specify the types of materials that are necessary to provide access to general curriculum for students with disabilities. And if you want to read more about this, you can read the full wording at the at this website, which is included in your packet. A great resource for learning more about AIM is the National Center on Accessible Instructional Materials. This site is a resource in learning more about and implementing both accessible instructional materials and NIMAS. On December 3, 2004, when the President signed the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, or IDEA 2004, and defined accessible instructional materials, the law also established a National Instructional Materials Standard that established the procedures to make all instructional materials available from a center, National Instructional Materials Center. And that's NIMAC is the center and NIMAS is the standard. NIMAS defines the digital standard for the materials that are stored at the NIMAC. You can read about this important change in the way that schools are required to provide materials for students at the National Center on Accessible Instructional Materials. After December 2006, all publishers are required to have a set or to send a set of their digital textbook files to the NIMAC if the school requests it.
And Diana, you wanted to talk a little bit more about that, in that if a school does not request that book when they are purchasing it, can you explain that a little bit? We talked about that a couple days ago.
Yes. If they're not requested at the time of purchase, the publisher's not under the obligation to provide the materials, although most of the publishers are really supporting this initiative, since part of the reason that the NIMAC exists is to protect their copyright of the material. So it's important, though, for educators who are selecting new materials, new curriculum materials, to really think about the different ways that these things can be offered. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of the neat things that are happening in the publishing area, too, in a little bit. NIMAC files are mainly for instructional materials. They're only available for U.S. K through 12 students with print disabilities as defined in the Chaffee Amendment to the Copyright Law and who have an individualized educational plan. Furthermore, only teachers and staff members of U.S. public K-12 education agencies can download these books from Bookshare. To ensure that Bookshare complies with the above limitations, students, parents, transcribers, private school teachers, and adults with print disabilities cannot download these books. Only a teacher can download the books.
How do private schools go around that, Diana?
Private schools oftentimes, at least in the state of Michigan, are provided with services from the public school agency. Okay. So, and they are also able to contact their school district, the patrons of the private school, especially the parents of the students, would be able to request that from their school district, their local public school district, even though they're enrolled in a private school. Their rights are guaranteed because they're taxpayers.
Perfect.
U.S. Public K-12 staff request materials from the state authorized user who requests it from the NIMAC. This is kind of complicated, but once you've been through it a few times, it's not that hard. NIMAC sends materials to Bookshare or RFBND to be downloaded by the requester, and then you get an email that your book is ready to be downloaded. And what I'm showing you here is the Michigan contact, the state authorized contact. It's at our Michigan Integrated Technology Supports office.
Diana, I have two questions or comments. This is a good time to clarify them. One is, private school students would still have to have an IEP. Is this correct? And the answer to that is yes. You still have to have a print disability documentation for that and request
That's
for
correct.
Support. The other comment is just really quickly, my student is going to a high school next year, but the textbooks were adopted a few years ago. They don't know then what do we request a NIMAS file now?
Yes.
Once the collection, go ahead if you can answer that, Diana.
I was thinking, I get this question a lot because a lot of our schools have textbooks that were published before 2006. And a lot of schools are still not sure about requesting the NIMAC files to be sent to our center. But any publisher, we'll be talking a little bit more about how to request materials from a publisher, but the publishers keep the files. Even though the textbook company may have been sold several times, you can usually track down the book files, and it just takes a little bit of persistence and not giving up. But you can find most of the textbook files. There have been a few that I haven't found. And at that point, I'm assuming that, you know, the publisher is no longer in existence, because if you can find the publisher, most of them will work with you. If you can't find the publisher, scanning and using the materials for your own personal use is an option.
And the other option is that some of those textbooks might have been already scanned and included in the repository for Bookshare and RFB&D if they've been requested and you have authorization to use those. So those are some options to work around the textbook.
That's an excellent point. That's true. Bookshare has materials that teachers who've scanned books for years have donated to Bookshare. So even though it might be an older book, they have a lot of the older materials that teachers over the years have scanned. And when the federal government approved them as a, I forget the exact term, but they're a center that has the approval of the government to handle these materials. They encourage teachers to send in their scanned files. So any of you out there with books, you know, tons of books that you've scanned, there is a place on the Bookshare website that describes how to donate materials. And this is what we're talking about right now are textbook materials. Gutenberg keeps copies of the literature books and novels. Let's say you're living in a state other than Michigan. I suppose there are some people out there who are. You can find your state contact at this website. On the screen, I don't know if it's clear enough, but we have Alabama and Alaska. If you go to this website, it has all 50 states and the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands and a few other assorted things listed here. So you can find out what your contact is for your NIMAC. This cites an ongoing grant-funded research initiative to investigate the impact of using supported e-text. When I say supported e-text, I mean text that's been modified in ways that are designed to increase access and support comprehension. And I'm following their work very closely. It's out of the University of Oregon.
Diana, just before we go on, just one other comment. Does the state authorize user track down the books, or do We as individual users do that. Also, could you repeat your comment about scanning if you can't find it?
Okay. Let's take one thing at a time there. And the first question was,
does the state authorized user track down the books, or do we as individual users do that?
Well, you would only be requesting books that are being used in your school or in your educational agency. So when you when you go to fill out the application at the MITS website, for example, when I do that, I have to have the title of the book, the publisher, the ISBN, and we'll go over some of the required information later in more detail. What was the second question, Brenda?
Could you repeat your comment about scanning if you can't find it for individual use? She wants to know, I think that's where that question comes from.
If you own a copy of your textbook and you are a person with a print disability, you can scan the materials. That is what the Chaffee Amendment to the copyright law says. So there's a little more question about whether teachers can scan the materials for students. And really, you know, this is an area that is hopefully having the new legislation in place will make this a moot point. But I know there are some books that are just very difficult to find. And at that point, technically, if the person with a print disability scans the materials of a book they own, there's no problem with a copyright. The main concern here is not to violate copyright regulations, because the new legislation is so wonderful, we don't want to take a chance on overstepping or taking advantage of that. Does that answer that question, do you think?
So, and the final question is, and I will answer that a little bit later, Ronald. Yes, thanks. The person responded. And how do I go about registering students for Bookshare? There's a whole session on that particular presentation, and we will be doing a presentation on Bookshare services, and we can touch that through the website, and we have some of that information actually online already. So please just look at our website for that. So
Anna, I think it's very
yeah it's okay, very easy it,
yeah and I think it's helpful to listen to a webinar where people are able to have some have their ideas kind of bounce back and forth. There's also very good directions on the Bookshare website. If your learning style is more, you know, like you're able to read technology and really understand that. But I think the webinar will walk you through it and make it a little more clear. Okay?
Perfect.
The last thing that we're talking about that's changed over time are the online search engines. And at this point, they've evolved into just a truly amazing resource. When you're using the search engines, let's see if this works.
It will take a minute to swing in.
Yep. This is a learning experience for us too, as far as using the using this new technology. I just think this is amazing. But I mean, Brenda's in Canada 2 hours earlier than me. I'm in Michigan. That's just awesome. Okay, when using search engines, keywords will help narrow down the search to increase your opportunities for finding content. If you type the title of the book that you're searching for into the search engine search box, and most times if you include the words ebook or digital text, you will find the electronic book. Oftentimes it will refer you to sites that we're going to touch on today. Also, if you type it into a Google search, you'll usually bring up Google Books. the Google Books site first, but you don't have to stop looking after just that first listing on the results page of your search. So, but Google Books is one of the places where you can as you can see, you can get classics with free EPUB downloads and magazines and other current material. Now, there are also search engines that schools can subscribe to or state libraries. And in Michigan, the Gale search engine is available to all citizens through our Michigan Electronic Library, or MEL. And this is a wonderful resource, again, a source of digital text that you can use with a text reader to hear what it says. Okay, I think we are supposed to go on to the next one now. NetTracker is another subscription-based search engine, and Michigan, again, the state of Michigan subscribes to this, so all public school and a lot of private schools have access to this. And I don't know if you can note this little box right here, but it says open read aloud. So it has a built-in reading utility that will read the text out loud. The textbook publishers are listening. A quickly growing number of publishers of educational materials are providing content online as well as in print. These online texts are not necessarily accessible, however, and I think that's a key point. However, Bookshare plans to make open content books accessible by converting open content into the accessible formats for individuals with print disabilities. So, and we'll be talking about the DAISY and DAISY format and BRF formats at our next webinar on Thursday. Technology has provided education with unprecedented opportunities. In addition to material from websites and sources like Wikipedia, almost any book is available online in digital format. Although ebooks seem to be the wave of the future, there are some inconveniences to having class material only in digital format. I did notice when I was reading some material earlier that there are certain states that are talking about going entirely to electronic book format. And I would say, you know, that would be something to think through. But the key here is to begin making material available in a variety of formats for a variety of learning needs. Now, you might ask what types of ebooks you can find online. Original works by authors, assorted collections of freely distributed literature, including almost all historical documents and many in their original languages, books in their original languages, translations and annotated books, state and national grant-funded collections of prints, adapted text, and ebooks purchased online. Let's talk about how to tap the pipeline of digital material so students have easy access to the flow of information available. And at the same time, we'll talk about honoring copyrights. I've clicked twice, so it might go too fast. Nope, there we go. When I'm looking for materials to use with school classes, I usually begin with a request to the publisher. It's best if you write the letter on school letterhead and include these four points. I'm requesting permission to obtain or prepare accessible instructional materials from purchased classroom textbooks for students with certified special needs, and this is not for profit. In other words, we own a copy of the textbook. It's also helpful to let the publisher know how the books are going to be used. The more often publishers see how teachers use books, the more they will understand what we're talking about when we ask for accessible instructional materials. For individuals who are requesting their textbooks from publishers, there are some sample request letters at this UK website that's listed at the bottom. Oftentimes a college student may prefer to request the materials themselves, but at this point most universities in the United States have an office or a department that will help them get the material. So we're talking about using the digital file with text reader software to synthesize voice text as students also view diagrams and pictures. I work in a vocational technical setting, and let me tell you that text-only textbooks for students who have a learning disability and severe reading problem are not as helpful as the materials that include the diagrams and pictures. We also may use prepared vocabulary lists, highlighted materials, and text notes inserted for clarification. It is necessary for most of our students with print disabilities to have a visual format identical to the book. I list this right in my letter. This is necessary for skimming, navigating the book to view references with the class discussion, using online reading dictionaries, and learning from the graphics. And I also mentioned that the content should include all components of the print work, images, text, charts, graphs, and hyperlinks. This has been one of the stumbling blocks of making educational materials available more freely in a timely manner, because publishers, it was explained to me by a publisher that oftentimes they didn't own the rights to the pictures and charts and some of the graphs in their books. But as this is evolving, this is changing. And also, the final file should have a screen resolution of 300 dots per inch in the same dimensions as the printed book. This is an ideal. Yes, we can get along with other formats. However, it is most important to request accessible file formats that are usable with text readers. So I usually say we need an unlocked digital version with embedded fonts, because sometimes if a publisher sends you a book that has interesting, beautiful font, but it's not available on your machine, you end up with interesting, odd symbols instead of the letters that you were expecting. So we need unlocked digital version with embedded fonts in a portable document format or PDF that you can use with Adobe, or rich text format or a Word document version for our purpose. And as a last resort, we can always request permission to scan. I have to tell you, I have not scanned a full textbook, I think, since earlier this year. Almost all the time when I've contacted publishers, and that's another thing. When we talked about the digital rights manager or the special educator in the school, in order to request these materials, most of the publishers are asking that a person who understands the copyright restrictions and the permissions be the one who requests the books. So I request books for my entire school. But I prefer not to scan them. Now it's important to describe the textbook that's being requested, or you might get something different. So these points pretty much list, this is a textbook, the title of the textbook is, subtitle, edition, etc. And finally, we're going to talk about how do you keep organized. As you use more and more of these resources, you need a way to keep these virtual materials in order. If you think books disappear quickly, files can certainly disappear more quickly. It's important to decide how to organize files so that we can find them, and the students who need them have them at the time that they are needed. Now, that was not a picture of my office, even though some people may know my organization style. There are three areas to think about when you're talking about organizing your digital materials. First of all is online. Organize your bookmarks for easy searching. Then there's on your hard drive. Label a file in your My Documents folder, AIM Books or something like that, and put your digital e-book files there. And on a school network, work with the tech department to establish a shared workspace with space to store digital resources. Usually you will have more access to a larger amount of storage. Think about how to set up your file system ahead of time and write it down. I might say that again and again, write it down. Use a branching tree or inverted pyramid diagram. Use consistent labels to make searching for and sharing documents easier. Start with the broadest category, divide each category into smaller subcategories, and when deciding on the categories, be as specific as usual.
And we've got a visual, graphics for this, because it's a lot of words, isn't it, Diana?
Yes, it is, and yes, we do. And I don't know why, but this is not clicking through here quite.
Did it come up?
There we go. I decided I'd share a picture of my online basic literacy digital resources. That's what I call them. This will be available as you review this later. But basically, these are the categories that I've divided my online materials into. Accessible digital books use, audiobooks and podcasts, cognitive supports for literature, described and captioned media, digital text readers, digital text sources, literacy software skill development, and reading research. And then as you can see, the ebooks, the digital text resources, I divided ebooks online, and I have those four areas. And then as we go, as we click on the plus sign by ebooks literature, this is what it would look like. Adapted text, assorted collections, and special formats. And then under assorted collections, I have accessible books collection, author contributions, Blio, e-reader, Bookshare, Find Your Book, Gutenberg, Read How You Want. And then the Find Your Book is my, It's my Find Your Book by Author, Find Your Book by Category. So I have that divided up into further subdivisions. Consistent labels make searching for and sharing documents easier. I use the same format for my hard drive as I do for my online books. So some things that will help is if you use the same labels and communicate with your team members so that you're all using the same labels.
I was talking about the server or the network drive. Sorry, Diana. Go ahead.
Okay, here's the network drive.
Mm-hmm.
Most schools have a dedicated network drive, and this is a great place for your digital text. As a place to keep instructional material stored as digital files, it's hard to beat. It's a shared site. It can be accessed by all the staff that's working with students. So if you have team teaching or co-teaching or if you have a teacher assistant, they can have access to the materials so that they can help provide those in a timely manner. It doesn't all fall on the teacher's shoulders. It's a process to protect copyrights also. And it doesn't fill up your hard drive space on your computer. But here's a tip. make sure your tech department knows that this is a resource, that it needs to continue to exist from year to year. So you don't come back after a summer break or holiday and find that your entire network drive is disappeared. Okay, and then here's the basic file structure that we came up with. Basically, a school server is a good place with a class folder. And then you may have subdivisions of units or different areas. But textbooks can be divided up into archived e-files, which includes the raw downloaded or scanned files or the ones purchased from a publisher, and then processed and labeled by chapter, table of contents, glossary, index, and reference material. So this is how our drive on our network starts out. And then every teacher kind of does their own thing with it. But the main format is in place when they start out. Textbook accommodations, so any modified text, so if you have an easier version of Romeo and Juliet that you use with students with print disabilities, that could be stored here, or adapted text. Then you could have audio files to store the MP3s that you make using a text reader, or podcasts, or audiobooks. Podcast teachers are increasingly doing podcasts, so you know, if you're using Audacity to record a podcast, that can be stored there. Textbook study aids, for example, a glossary, an index, a table of contents, that type of thing. Then another major category are tests, and you could have your tests archived by chapters or units, and you could have adapted tests. We've changed this a little bit since I did this, and I think that the one thing to remember is that this is a living, growing process, okay? It's something that it has to be customized to people's needs, and as you understand how to use it better, it kind of changes. Then there's study guides and support material, and we divided that up into common use, which is like teacher-made stuff, or stuff that's purchased from the publisher for the classroom versus stuff that's regulated by copyright. So articles from journals that you use in your class, which are only available to students with print disabilities, and scanned materials. So are there any questions on the...
One of the questions that we have here is, do you have a Delicious bookmark account with your bookmarks? And I'm not quite sure what a Delicious bookmark is.
I know it's a social networking site of some sort, and I really don't have a Delicious site, but I'll look into that.
Yep. And this is one of the things that we're really happy about this, is this presentation is to share you all of these options and to give you tips on how to find it. And I'll probably have to do a session with Diana at another time on all the extra resources that she had. So all those little folders that you saw, we'll take you through and show you some of those websites. But I think that we might do that at another time. We've got some good comments up here. Bookshare is very specific about downloading files for specifics. Any suggestions for this?
It's very important when you download the textbook from Bookshare to download it for every student. And when you set up your accounts as a school, you find that it's really easy because the list of your students that you've enrolled at Bookshare are all on one page, and you just click the checkbox, and you can download the book for a number of students. Now, every time that you download the book, Bookshare is tracking that, and since they're being funded by a federal grant, part of their viability is in how much the resource is used. So we definitely want to download a book for every student individually that's using the book. Now, I have classes with 8 students in that classroom who are qualified as having print disabilities. So at that point, we put a copy of the book on our network drive, and since we divide it up by chapters, Bookshare doesn't divide it up by chapters. You have to process the text a little bit, and we'll talk about that a little more on Thursday. But you have to process the text. So from our network drive, we then put the chapters individually into the qualified students' files so that they are the only ones that can see it. When they log on as their name, they're the ones that can see the book. The other students, when they log on, they don't even see the book. So that's kind of part of how we manage that. It's something that takes a little bit of practice, and the more you do it, the more you find how it will work. And, of course, we're trying to do that all within the confines of staying within their requirements.
The other question goes back a ways, and it's, they said, I wanted to share AR readers library books, I'm not sure what that means, with other teachers of the VI in my state. Does quote-unquote Chapman cover us if we were to make this available through our website? And I have no idea.
Accelerated Reader and the Chaffee Amendment. There is actually a website for materials that are Accelerated Reader books that are in the large print and Braille format that you just download. So if you will send Brenda your email, we'll send you the link for that. And just say that you want the website that has accelerated reader texts. I think that's what they mean. And we'll send you back the website for the large print and Braille accelerated reader books.
Great. There's one other comment, and then we'll finish up the presentation, Diana. I'm watching this from Canada. We actually have a similar situation, though it's thought it's through the local school board and not a national institution. So they're talking about access. These digital resources are only open to what we call coded students, dyslexics. For example, though, we'd really like to get out to English as a second language students included, and that's a request for quite a few people, Glenn, that students with ESL or EAL students would benefit greatly from these accesses. But as you can see, there's a whole bunch of collections that Diana has showed us that is available, other materials, so that we have access to the content. Using the portable technologies like the Victor Reader Stream and the Classmate allow us to have that material on the go all the time.
And there are a lot of languages that you can access. And that's another link that we could, or a website that we could.
Yeah, I'll have us do a little mini presentation, Diana, and we will add that in there and just show them some of the different sites and why you like that material. Diana's been a wealth of so many sites that she's collected over time to really access material for her students, and it's really great to be able to share that information with you. So I'll take this slide. I just wanted to let you know that please become a friend of the Classmate Reader. We will be on Facebook. We will be posting sessions, and actually sessions that are coming up. If this is your first time attending one of our webinars, I post events that are happening here, sometimes job postings, sometimes videos and presentations that you might be interested in. So please take a view of that. And I also wanted to encourage you to visit the www.mydreamclassroom.com. What is great about that site is actually at the very back of this room, there's a whole bunch of libraries that you can access and materials that we talked about. So read how you want, Bookshare, RFBND. Don Johnston also provides that information, and you can go in and see what kind of materials are available. And so it's a great site. You can take a look at that as well. So
it's pretty awesome. It really is.
It talks about the relationship between the pieces of technology and what, how that is going to support your student and what services or materials it can access as well.
And it's interactive. That's fun to play with.
Mm-hmm. And then this is just letting you know that we have a products tab where the videos are, and we've had a few different sessions. So people that haven't attended our sessions before, we've got some sessions posted that have already gone on. So go ahead and re-listen to those, such as the question of how do we register for Bookshare. That material is in our past presentations, and there's quite a list of them. So if you go to humanware.com, under the products tab and go into product presentations, you're going to find a whole slew of information that's been compiled for you. And I know that we're on a little bit of a stretch here where we're covering a lot of information for you. So that's great. Diana, I want to thank you for all your information today. That was absolutely wonderful. And we, as we've talked about this particular presentation, we realize that this is a big topic and it's hard to get our mind wrapped around it, and that this is ebbing and flowing all the time. And as Diana said, there was an article that came out last week that talked about e-text and access to e-text and making that accessible. So looking at the DAISY formats and how we can have access to that. So we're just trying to provide you more information and resources that you can have access to. And on Thursday, I'm going to have Diana explain what we're going to cover on Thursday. And we hope that you come back and attend that session. It will also be posted. But I think we'll do a little bit more interactive on the website as well, if that's okay with Diana, and we'll see what the PowerPoint does.
I think we can do that. And on Thursday, there are some unique features to online books, and we're going to just explore some of the ways to figure out which book will work in which program.
Great. So. And we also talked about the vocabulary. There's a different kind of book regarding adaptive text versus accessible text. And there's two very distinct differences between that. And we look forward to sharing some of that information with you. So that is.
And we could also look at that website for the accelerated reader, too, on Thursday.
Great. So that is great, Diana. Thank you so much for your expertise, being willing to tackle this topic. And thank you, everyone, for attending today. And we look forward to seeing you back here on Thursday. So if you have any questions, please let me know. There's a question, when will you be sending out the notes? I will make a few adaptations today, and then I will actually send those out because they're ready to go for you. I've got your email address if you've attended the session with all the links. I haven't included all of the slide detailed information, but the links, and so you're going to be able to find that information that you wanted to have. There's a question coming in here. We will not schedule... So if you want to receive information about the presentation when it's posted, please make sure that you're registered for the event. Otherwise, I won't know that you want that information. Only through registration, whether or not you attend, will I send out that link of information once it's ready to go on the website so you can share with other people. So we've just gotten a lot of great comments regarding thank you for your time, and thank you for attending, everyone. So, Diana, I'll let you have a few closing comments, and we're going to call it a day.
Okay. Well, this has been so much fun, and I have to say, Brenda, you've been wonderful to work with and an inspiring person. It's just these are such exciting times to be a teacher. I think it's wonderful to have resources like this available. So thank you for letting me share these thoughts.
I'm just starting the recording.